We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you open our hearts as only you can do it, and pray that you reveal the treasures which are hidden in your word to us this evening. Strengthen our faith in our Savior as you do this, and give us the comfort that he would have us to have from this chapter and these verses. I pray this in his name. Amen. I'd like to, again, begin by welcoming those who are worshiping with us via the speaker phones and also those of you who will be receiving the CDs in the coming weeks. Service, again, coming from the Village Hall here in beautiful, beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin. Wisconsin being the very center of God's country, at least our part of Wisconsin is. And we wish you could be here with us to enjoy the tremendous, intense natural beauty that surrounds us every day of our lives. And we hope that you can visit us sometimes. I know some of you plan on doing that, and we're looking forward to that day. In the meantime, we'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us to Revelation chapter 18, verses 6 and 7, which read this way. Speaking of mystery, Babylon the Great. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double, according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much grief she hath glorified her, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Sometimes childhood memories last so long. And I've never been a farmer and I've never really been even successful at a garden. But my uncle had a farm, and my parents used to take my sister and I out there to visit very often so we could play with our cousins. And during those times, I did learn a little bit about farming. And I can remember my uncle going out in the springtime to plant, and there were seeds of corn, kernels of corn that he had that he planted out there. And I thought it was so neat then when the fall came that he'd go out in the fields and gather in the corn. There's never one time that I can remember him ever going out at harvest time expecting to gather in wheat when in the springtime he had planted corn. It just doesn't work that way. The seeds produce after their kind. And it is a scriptural principle that a person is going to reap exactly what they sow. Now, this is not only true of farmers, it's also true of you and me in whatever field of labor God has placed us in. We can be sure that we're going to reap what we sow. And it's not by accident that the final judgment day so often is referred to a harvest. Church officials and seminary professors are not exempt from this rule. No one's going to be able to flash a badge to God or a diploma and make him nervous. That's not going to happen that way. We have an example here, and I am shocked at the parallel that we have in Revelation 18 here with Isaiah chapter 47. And I'd like to read that chapter because it shows so much the relationship between the Old Testament and the New, and the truth that it is literally impossible to begin to understand Revelation unless we know the Old Testament, because the parallels are so deep. Daughter of Babylon, referred to here in Isaiah 47. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou heavily laid thy yoke, and thou saidst, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwelleth carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day. Remember those words for next week, God willing, in one day. It comes very, very quickly. The loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee, and thou shalt not know from whence it ariseth. They don't see this arrow coming. And mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers and stargazers and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor a fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee, with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants, remember that for further on in our chapter of Revelation, even thy merchants from thy youth, they shall wander every one to his quarter, none shall save thee. Babylon is a word that is well known throughout Scripture. It starts way back in the early chapters of Genesis when Nimrod, the rebel, mighty warrior fighting against the Lord, began his kingdom at Babel, located in Babylon. Built a tower trying to reach the heavens, or at least worshiping there, worshiping the stars of the heavens. Continued later on in the Old Testament with Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of Babylon. Their stench reached to heavens, even though what they built did not. And their judgment came from God. God is very long-suffering, it is true. But it's just as true that he has a good memory. He doesn't forget. And a person is going to reap exactly what he sows. That is a truth. Now we come to Revelation chapter 18, verse 6. Reward her. We're talking here about mystery Babylon the Great, the one that we have identified as the apostate church. The church that has left her Savior and committed spiritual adultery. She's a harlot, she's a whore. It shocked John to see it. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. A double judgment coming upon Babylon. She's presented here in Revelation 18 as being a harlot and also a merchant. Church has become a business, so she's a merchant man, a businessman, and a harlot. Therefore, probably the double judgment. If we're counting correctly, this is the sixth reference in Revelation to the cup of wickedness, which with which Babylon and the nations shall be made drunk. And the references would be Revelation 14, verse 8, 17, verses 2, 4, and 6, and 18, verses 3 and 6. And this is the third reference also to the cup of God's wrath. The other references are 14, 10, and 16, 19. Amazingly, God turns one into the other. The Old Testament has spoken a little bit about Babylon. Jeremiah 51, verse 7, Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunk. The nations have drunk of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. And then Jeremiah 31, 57, I will make drunk her princes and her wise men, her captains and her rulers and her mighty men. And they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, saith the King, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Now the basic principle of justice which seems to be involved here is an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Now, she's going to reap exactly what she has sown. The Savior had said to his church, his own believers, in John 16:20, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Now here's the opposite for the world. The joy of the world is going to be turned to sorrow. The surprise here is the double bit. It's mentioned a couple different times. Double unto her, double, double, double. She's going to get a double dose of what she handed out. And you know, one thing that comes to mind is clearly taught by the Son of God, and that is that there are degrees of punishment in hell. And he who knew his master's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. He that knew not his master's will and did it not shall be beaten with lesser stripes. Hell is still hell, yes. And ignorance is no excuse. But there still is accountability. And to whom much has been given, from him much shall be expected. Church officials cannot get around this. And apostate Babylon cannot get around this. She is at the bottom. Double. Everything she dished out is going to come back to her double. Now, look at verse 7. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. Notice the inverse relationship here. Those things that she enjoyed so much in this world turn out to be curses. It is really God fattening her up for the kill. And we have to know this, or we can be kind of derailed. We think of Psalm 37, a psalm of Asaph. And I'm not going to read all of it, just a few of the verses. He says this, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, My feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He almost lost his soul. Why? For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And then he goes on to talk a little about the same thing that has troubled children of God throughout history. So often it seems like a child of God just gets out of one storm and steps into the middle of another one. And it's one thing after the other. On the other hand, the children of the devil seem to float along on cloud nine, and the sun shines brightly in their life, and there's not a dark cloud in it. At least that's the way it seems. Everything they touch turns to gold, and it's a real test of what we believe in and a test of our faith. He continues in verse 16, Asaph does. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Sanctuary of God was the temple where God met with his people. For us, it's Holy Scripture. And when we're bothered by things like this, what we've got to do is see what God tells us about these things in his word. And what did he tell us? Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into destruction as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. So all these good things that it looked like they had really turned out to be curses for them. And it took them away from God and ended up in destruction. Now, this is all going to relate as we go further into the chapter, deeper and deeper, and see what a business the outward church has become. And this shouldn't surprise us. In the beginning of his ministry, the Son of God had to make a scourge and drive the money changers out of the temple. And 3 years later, he had to do it again. So this shouldn't come as any surprise. What is very revealing is what Babylon the Great says. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Do you see what's happening here? You see it? We've mentioned before, Son of God warns us that if there's one word more than anything else that's going to describe the outward church in the last days, that word would be deception. Many false prophets shall come and shall deceive many. It's the old story of the Trojan horse. Greeks fighting against Troy, but they couldn't break down the walls. They couldn't get at the city. So they resorted to trickery. They made a large horse, large enough to hide some of their warriors inside it. Then they got on their boats and seemed to sail away. Trojans thought they had gained the great victory. They came and saw this horse and thought, boy, this would be a nice victory trophy. So they wheeled it into the city. And they had their victory party. But that night, the trap door opened. The Greek soldiers slid down, opened the door of the city. By that time, the ships had returned, and the city was burned to the ground. What they couldn't do from attacking on the outside, they did by attacking from the inside. And that's what the devil has done. But the Word of God is a two-edged sword, and it cuts. And there's this old thing again, that you're going to reap exactly what you sow. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You see, this is a vicious cycle. The false prophets deceive the people. But at the very same time that they do that, they themselves are deceived. And the deception is deep. Listen to the words of Mystery Babylon the Great. The whore, the prostitute, the harlot. Listen to what she says in her heart. I sit a queen. See what she's saying? She is claiming that she's the bride of Jesus Christ. Last chapter, Revelation 17, verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And Babylon, Mystery Babylon the Great, knows that. Son of God is King of kings, and I sit a queen. There is not one elect child of God that would ever make a statement like this. We would say, we're going to be the bride of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Christ is the one that's important. And that's where our attention is. We are going to be a bride to the Son of God. She says, I sit a queen. Well, you know, maybe there were political marriages in past history where something like this would play itself out, where there was no love involved in the marriage whatsoever. It was purely a political thing, and the bride would say, what I'm getting out of it, I sit a queen. I'm going to be a queen. Maybe that's possible in that kind of a marriage. But not to the Lamb it isn't. Not to the Lamb it isn't. She's claiming to be the bride of Jesus Christ. I sit a queen and I'm no widow. Why not? Well, because her husband rose from the dead. Her husband, quote unquote, the way she's looking at it, he rose from the dead and he's going to live forever. So I'm never going to be a widow. She knew that. In the head. It's a big difference between the head and the heart. Knowing it's one thing, believing it's another. But she believed it. She thought. She knew it. I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. I'm going to be in heaven, and there'll be no more pain, no more tears, no more death, no more sorrow. That's what she thought. Deceiving and being deceived. And you cannot be any more deceived than this. Now, the trash that has infiltrated the outward church, organized church, you cannot tell it from a business. Emphasis on spreadsheets and money and numbers. And these guys believe that they're doing God's will on this. They really think they are. The Son of God said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Talking is one thing, doing is another. Talking the talk is one thing, but you better walk the walk to back it up, or it's not going to come. Many will say to me in that day, many, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? You better go check the records. We preach the gospel. We cast out devils in your name. And we did many wonderful works in your name. You better check your records. These people are so deceived, they're arguing at the judgment seat. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I saw through this all away. I knew what was in your heart. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Boy, is there love here. There is really a great deal of love here. Infiltration destroys. A great king one time made a wedding feast for his son. And he went into the banquet hall to look over the guests. And he noticed that there was a man there that didn't have a wedding garment on. And these things were seemingly handed out at the door. Nobody could claim they couldn't afford one. This guy didn't have it on because he didn't want it. I'll come dressed in my own clothes, thank you. I don't need the wedding garment. King walked up to him and said, how come you don't have a wedding garment on? And the guy was speechless. He didn't have an answer. He was bound hand and foot and cast into outer darkness where there shall be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's a great deal of love shown there for the bridegroom and for the bride. What would heaven be like if it were infiltrated by children of the devil? Well, that's not going to happen. A man wrote a book several years ago, and it's gotten worse since then. It was called The Babylonian Captivity of the Church. And it's exactly what has happened. Merchandising in the church has become a business. And rules that are plain and simple, fine for a business to follow, can be terribly wrong when you try and run a church that way. And the pride and arrogance of people who have built monetary empires and then come into the church and say this is the way it should be in the church. It's not going to work. Outwardly, yes, it looks very good, but God always looks at the heart. And Mystery Babylon the Great is called by the Holy Spirit exactly what she is. She's a harlot, she's a prostitute, she's a whore. She's been unfaithful to Jesus Christ. And no, she is not a queen. She's not his bride, no matter what she says she is. And she will be a widow. And she will be tormented, and she will have sorrow. The command to us last week was, come out. Be not partakers of her sins and of her judgment. And in Hebrews, let us go forth therefore unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. The story will continue, God willing, next week.